Creating an Organization from Thin Air. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. I'm here at Brigham City Airport in northern Utah, and my guest today is Doug Barker, who is the president of the Utah Rotorcraft Association. The occasion that we're out here is Rotors Over the Rockies, the third year in a row that the Utah Rotorcraft Association has put on a fly-in that's turned into a regional event. We still have folks arriving from other states, and it's going to provide the locals with some interesting sights and sounds. And I wanted to talk to Doug because this organization did not exist 3 years ago. It was in July of 2007 that it came to be. Doug, welcome in. I can't believe it's been 2 years since we talked on this podcast. But I've heard a couple of people say now that you willed PRA Chapter 2, the Utah Rotorcraft Association, into existence. Tell us about the environment for the sport in Utah when you became interested and found there was no organization around.
Well, I actually first became interested in gyroplanes while I was still in Wyoming. And in Wyoming, there's even less than there is in Utah. But about 5 years ago, I moved here to Utah. And I started looking around, and there was, of course, no PRA chapter anywhere close to here. And I started just looking for other people that had gyroplanes, somebody I could go look at and see one fly and have any kind of support or help at all, and found nothing. And I did find the PRA, and I, you know, became a national member. But there wasn't anything local, and so I just got a hold of every magazine I could, and I did go back to Mentone 1 year and saw what was there and available and really got excited. And I came home and decided, you know, we really need to have a chapter out in the West. And I just kept talking to everybody I talked to and eventually found a person here and a person there. And we got to a point where there were about 10 people that I had found names for that said, yeah, I have an interest in rotorcraft. That'd be cool. Why don't we do something? Mm-hmm. And I thought, when we got to that point, I thought, you know, that's enough people. We could do something. We need at least five to form a chapter. And I got 10 saying they'll come, so we ought to be able to get five to a meeting. So we finally picked a day, and I called everybody and said, okay, we're going to make it official. Here's when it is. We really need you to be here. And I got commitments from a pretty good percentage of them. And the day came, and I thought we'd have no problem getting at least five out of the 10. And lo and behold, four of those 10 showed up. But luckily, one of them brought a friend who wasn't expected and I didn't know anything about. So we ended up with five and we decided we're ready to do it. Let's go. And we officially formed the chapter, and it's been uphill ever since.
Well, now, one of the big deals in the gyroplane world is training. It's hard to find it in most places in the country. It's really hard in the West. Was Air Gyro Aviation in existence yet at the time you were first looking to put a chapter together?
Actually, they were. I just didn't know it. I didn't find them. I didn't run into them until, I guess by the time we actually had our first meeting, that's where we met. So I had found them by then. But when I first started looking, they were in existence. It just took me a little while to find them. But eventually I did run into them on the internet and started talking to Nate. And he even offered, he was one of the first five, you know, that joined. And he said, yeah, you're welcome to meet here at our building and use this as a meeting place and come on down. And that was a little over an hour away, but that beat the heck out of, you know, 6 or 8 hour trip to Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
So I like, okay, we'll be there. And it was instrumental in actually giving us a place to feel like we were a real organization and we had a steady place to meet. And it was a big deal. And in fact, we couldn't have made it without Air Gyro. That was a significant boost and credibility builder and made everybody else feel like, hey, we really have something here.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm talking with Doug Barker, who's the president of the Utah Rotorcraft Association. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Doug Barker, president of the Utah Rotorcraft Association. We've talked a little bit, Doug, about how the group got started coming up on 3 years ago now. Your first meeting was in July, I guess, of 2007.
Right.
And it started out very, very small. It got to the point where, if I recall, a year or so ago, you were carrying a mailing list, an email list of about 60 people, and sending them out a free newsletter out of your own pocket. It got to the point where it was once a month. You must really have felt committed to making this thing go.
Well, the truth was, I didn't know that much about gyros, and I didn't want to be the person heading up an organization and training everybody else. I wanted to find a support group that could help me, but there wasn't anybody willing to do it. So if there was going to be, it was up to me, and I just decided to take on the role. And of course, because I'm the one that called everyone and got them to the meeting, when it was time to elect officers, we said, we need someone to volunteer to be president. Everybody pointed at me, and I said, okay, I'll do it. So I really had no aspirations of leading an organization, and I felt like I probably knew as little as anybody in the whole organization about it, but I wanted it to be, and if I was the only one that was willing to take the time to make it happen, then that's the way it was going to be. And that's, I think, why it grew slow in the beginning, because it was, more than anything, my efforts making it happen. You know, there were people that were willing to come to meetings, and they certainly wanted to be a part of it, wanted to have their own gyroplane, but nobody felt like they had the time to, you know, administer the organization and to help it grow. And so at that point, I was the only one willing to really do the work. And even though we had a president and a vice president and a secretary, it was pretty much all done by the president. Mm-hmm. But that has changed, and we actually held elections after 2 years. After the first year, we went to hold an election. Everybody said, let's just keep it the same and not change. So, you know, we went for the first 2 years. But after 2 years, we had another election. We had new people volunteer. In fact, you know, you're one of them that stepped up and said, I'm real busy. I don't have time to do this, but I'm willing to help and I'll do what I can. And that has made a huge difference. And about that time, Kurt came on, and Kurt was really getting excited. And Nate said, you know what? I don't have a lot of time, but I'm willing to do what I can, and I'll do more than I have. And so we had really a whole group of people that were willing to start making it happen. And that's when it really took off and started to grow. The synergy of a group is so much more powerful than one person trying to do it. And you obviously know a lot more about gyroplanes than I think I do, because you've been in it a lot longer and been around them a lot more. And so you brought a lot to the group. You know, so did Kurt, so did Nate. And together, it's actually kicked off and doing pretty exciting.
Kurt Pittman is the vice president of the URA, and Nate Oldham is the treasurer and also is the general manager of Air Gyro Aviation in Spanish Fork, Utah, which has the distinction of having the only full-time, salaried, certified flight instructor for gyroplanes in the western U.S. Well, let's jump ahead now to this weekend and Rotors Over the Rockies. First 2 years, the event was held in June at a remote desert airstrip. This year, we have a 9,500-foot by 100-foot paved runway and a 40-by-60 hangar as a clubhouse, and some really cool people showing up from three other PRA chapters around the West, and a bunch of people who just aren't affiliated and are just coming to kick the tires, and the locals. It's got to be somewhat gratifying.
It's way exciting to me. I think we've had probably more people show up today, which is the first day of a 3-day event, than we had, you know, at any of the other events on our busiest day. So it's certainly growing. We've got more gyros in the hangar right now after the first day than we had at any of the other events by quite a ways. And we've got more that are coming that just couldn't be here the first day. So there's more that are supposed to arrive tonight, more that'll be here tomorrow. And it's grown exponentially since last year. And that's pretty exciting.
Well, now, in the meantime, in the midst of all this, you became the authorized dealer for Larry Neal's Butterfly line of gyroplanes and are building your own Super Sky Cycle, which is one of the most interesting fly-drive aircraft out there. When are we going to see the 912 get bolted on and see that thing in the air?
Well, before I can put the 912 on it, I've got to get the drive part totally done because I want to take it into the Department of Motor Vehicles and get it licensed as a motorcycle. And to just keep it from getting confused, we're not going to put any of the aircraft stuff on it until it's a legal motorcycle. Then I get to start bolting on the flying stuff. So I was hoping to be at that point by this event, and I didn't make it. But I'm probably 2 or 3 months away from having it to where I can get it licensed. And then we'll bolt on the 912 and start working on the flying parts.
Well, Doug, it's been fun to be around your enthusiasm for the past couple of years that I've lived in Utah, and it's fun to be a part of this organization, and congratulations, a lot has happened.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's going the right direction, and I really attribute it to you and to Kurt and to Nate and us forming a team rather than being one person trying to make it, and it worked, and we grew that way just slowly. But when you take a whole group of people that are willing to take time and put into it, it grows a lot faster, and that's what's happening. And people see that excitement, and they see the growth, and more people want to get involved, and it's just having a snowballing effect. It's really exciting.
If there's any of our listeners who are within distance to make it, Rotors Over the Rockies continues through tomorrow officially, and you can find more information about it on the web at utahrotorcraft.org, where you'll also find more information about the organization. Doug, thanks for taking some time out.
Well, thanks for the interview. It's good talking to you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.